Your bank account is a mirror. What you see is a reflection of every decision you've made with money. If you want a different reflection, you need different decisions. This isn't just another talk about saving or spending. Financial intelligence, how to make smart money decisions, is about rewiring the way you think about money starting today. You don't need more motivation. You need real awareness. You don't need to work more hours. You need better habits. Most people are stuck not because they earn too little, but because they never learned how to handle what they already have. This audiobook breaks that cycle. It's built for people who want to stop the guesswork, feel confident about their choices, and finally build a life that makes sense financially. You're not behind. You're not broken. You've just never been shown how to think about money in a way that's clear, calm, and consistent. That's what you're about to learn. Let's begin. Chapter 1. Understand why you make money choices you regret. You know, every day, people make money decisions that hurt them. They buy things they don't need. They spend money they don't have. And after a while, they look around and feel stuck. They regret it. They feel frustrated. They wonder why they can't seem to get ahead. They think it's about not making enough. But it's not always that. It's more often about how they think about money, about how they were taught, about what they believe deep down, and about the patterns they've repeated for years without ever stopping to ask why. The truth is, if you want to get better with money, you don't start with numbers. You start with your thinking. You start by looking at why you make the money choices you make, especially the ones you regret. That regret you feel after buying something you didn't really need, that's not random. That's not a one-time mistake. That's the result of a pattern. And those patterns don't just show up in your bank account. They start inside your mind. They come from your upbringing, your environment, your fears, your self-image. So, if you want to be financially intelligent, you have to go back and take a good, honest look at what's shaping your money decisions in the first place. Most people don't do that. They live by default. They copy what they saw growing up. If their parents struggled, they carry that struggle. If their friends spend fast, they follow along. If they grew up hearing things like, money doesn't grow on trees, or rich people are greedy, or we can't afford that, those messages stay with them, even when they become adults, even when they earn more. And so they sabotage their progress, not because they're lazy, not because they're broken, but because they're still stuck in the mindset of who they used to be. Now, here's something important. Nobody teaches us how to think about money in school. We're taught how to count it, how to add and subtract. But we're not taught how to handle it emotionally. We're not taught how to delay gratification. We're not taught how to question our habits. So we grow up, and when money comes in, we react instead of respond. We feel pressure to impress. We chase the feeling of being caught up. We spend to escape stress or loneliness or boredom. And those feelings, they don't get better when we spend. They get louder. And that leads to regret. But if you stop for a moment and ask yourself, why did I do that? You open a door. You create space to understand. And understanding is powerful. Some people spend money to feel seen. Maybe they didn't feel important growing up. So now, they buy what they think will earn them approval. Nice clothes, expensive gadgets, a car they can't afford. And they think, now they'll respect me. But that respect doesn't come. The only thing that shows up is the bill. Others spend because they're afraid. They don't trust the future. They don't believe money will last. So when they get paid, they spend fast. They empty the account. And in a strange way, it feels safe to have nothing, because they're used to that. They don't believe they deserve more or that they can hold on to it. So even when good money comes, they make sure it disappears. That's not logic. That's fear. Some people spend because they're trying to fill a gap. not a financial gap, but an emotional one. They feel lonely, so they shop. They feel behind, so they spend to look like they're not. They feel stuck, so they buy something new to feel a little excitement. And that works for an hour, maybe a day. But then it fades, and regret moves in. These aren't just money problems. These are identity problems. That's why understanding your money choices isn't about guilt. It's not about shame. It's about waking up, seeing the pattern, getting honest, and choosing something better, not someday, but today. Because here's the real truth. You can't change what you don't understand. If you keep saying, "I just need to earn more," without looking at why you're spending, you'll never get ahead. Even with more income, you'll find new ways to lose it. Financial intelligence doesn't start with a spreadsheet. It starts with self-awareness. Ask yourself, what emotions show up when you spend? Are you spending to feel in control? To feel loved? To prove something? To escape something? When did that pattern start? Who did you see do that growing up? What beliefs did you absorb that might not even be true anymore? The moment you answer these questions honestly, you give yourself power, because now you're not just reacting, you're learning. And when you learn, you can grow. See, every smart money decision you'll ever make comes from one place: clarity. Clarity about what you really want. Clarity about what matters to you. Clarity about what you're no longer willing to do just to fit in or feel good for 5 minutes. Without that clarity, your money will control you. But with it, you take back control. Think about how many people feel anxious every time they check their bank account. Not because they're bad people, but because they've never been taught how to handle money in a way that makes them feel proud of themselves. That can change today. Not by winning the lottery, not by doubling your salary overnight, but by getting honest about your patterns and making a new choice. You don't need more shame. You need more strategy. You need awareness. You need to become the kind of person who can say, "I used to do that, but not anymore." That is strength. So if you've made money choices you regret, don't hide from them. Learn from them. That regret is not a sign of failure. It's a signal that you're ready for better, that you're capable of change, that you are finally aware of the gap between what you did and who you want to become. That gap, that's where growth lives. One of the best things you can do right now is start tracking your emotions around money. Not just the dollars, but how you feel before and after you spend. Write it down. Notice the triggers. Is it stress? Is it pressure? Is it boredom? Once you start to notice the pattern, you'll be able to pause. And in that pause, you can choose something different. That's where your power is, not in having perfect discipline, not in cutting out everything you enjoy, but in choosing with intention. In making money decisions that match the life you actually want, not the life you think you're supposed to have. You don't have to keep repeating the same mistakes. You don't have to stay stuck in guilt or confusion. You can decide today to be more aware, more honest, more intentional. And from that place, everything can start to change. You're not behind. You're not too late. You're not broken. You're just waking up. And that's the beginning of financial intelligence, not knowing everything, but being willing to ask why. The truth is, smart money decisions don't come from luck. They come from clarity, from pattern breaking, from self-honesty, from choosing peace over pressure, from deciding that you are worth more than the pain your past patterns have brought you. Every choice is a chance. Every time you pause and ask yourself, "Is this helping or hurting me?" you build strength. You take one step closer to freedom, one step closer to becoming the person who doesn't just make money, but knows how to handle it well. And that, right there, is what financial intelligence is all about. Not perfection, not pretending, but choosing, with full awareness, to make money decisions that you'll be proud of, not ones you'll spend years trying to undo. You can start today, right where you are, with what you have. Because once you understand why you've made the choices you regret, you never have to repeat them again. That's the power of awareness. That's the beginning of freedom, and that is where the new version of your life begins. Chapter 2. Train your brain to pause before every payment decision. Most people think their money problems come from not earning enough, but that's not always true. Sometimes the problem is not about income, it's about reaction. It's about the automatic yes, the quick swipe, the checkout without thinking. It's about how fast you say yes to spending and how slow you are to ask yourself, "Do I even need this?" The moment you pause before a payment, everything changes. That small break in the cycle is where financial strength begins. But for most people, there is no pause. There is only impulse, a habit, a feeling, a rush. That's what takes over. It's fast, emotional, and often unconscious. That's why so many smart people make decisions that don't feel smart later. They didn't plan to waste money. They just didn't stop long enough to see what was really happening. Training your brain to pause is not just a technique, it's a skill, a mental shift. And it starts by realizing this. Every time you spend, you're making a decision. Whether you realize it or not, your brain is saying yes to something, and it's your job to make sure that yes is real, not automatic. When you pause, you break the loop. You give yourself time to check in, not just with your budget, but with your values, with your current goals, with your emotions. That pause lets you ask, is this helping me or hurting me? Am I spending because it's right or because I feel pressure? Am I choosing wisely or just chasing relief? You don't need to feel bad for having those moments. You need to get strong enough to interrupt them, because most of the pain people feel around money doesn't come from one big mistake. It comes from a thousand small yeses they didn't think through, the late night orders, the upgrades they didn't need, the quick snacks, the unnecessary subscriptions, all of it adds up. Not just in dollars, but in regret. So, how do you train your brain to pause? Start with awareness. Notice how often you're tempted to spend without thinking. You're waiting in line. You're scrolling online. You see a deal. You feel bored, or stressed, or excited. Pay attention to that moment. That's your training ground. The goal isn't to be perfect. The goal is to be aware, because the second you notice what's happening, you have power. Power to choose. Power to delay. Power to say, this doesn't align with where I'm going. And don't underestimate the power of just 10 seconds. 10 seconds of silence before a purchase can save you from hours of regret. When you pause, you calm the part of your brain that reacts and activate the part that reflects. That's how you switch from emotional spending to intentional spending. It's not about restriction, it's about alignment. When you pause, you stop living by habit and start living by design. That's when your money starts working for you, instead of disappearing on things that don't matter later. Some people say, but I work hard, I deserve this. Yes, you do. But the question is, do you deserve temporary comfort or long-term peace? You can have treats, you can enjoy your money. But enjoy it with clarity, not confusion, with control, not chaos. The pause helps you enjoy it fully because you're choosing, not reacting. Now here's something important. The pause doesn't always mean saying no. It means making sure your yes is a real yes, that it's aligned, that it serves your future, not just your feelings in the moment. Because every time you spend, you're shaping your future. You're either building the life you want or pushing it further away. This is especially true when emotions are high. When you're stressed, tired, overwhelmed, or feeling left out, those are the moments to pause the most. Because spending in those moments doesn't solve the problem, it just hides it. And soon, you have two problems, the one you started with, and the financial pressure that followed. To build this habit, make it simple. Create a rule. I do not spend without a pause, even just 10 seconds, even just one deep breath. That space is where clarity lives. Ask yourself real questions. Do I need this right now? Will I still want this tomorrow? Does this support the future I'm building? How will I feel about this decision in a week? Those questions may seem small, but they pull your mind out of the impulse and into reflection. They give your brain a chance to process, and over time, they rewire your response. That's how habits are formed, not by trying harder, but by thinking better. Another powerful trick is to create a 24-hour rule for non-essential spending. If it's not urgent, don't buy it today. Sleep on it, write it down, come back tomorrow. Most of the time, the feeling will pass, and with it, the need to spend will pass too. If it doesn't, and you still want it, then you can choose it, not chase it. Financial intelligence is not about saying no to everything. It's about saying yes to the right things. And to do that, you need space between stimulus and response. That space is the pause. And inside that pause is your strength. There's something else worth mentioning. People around you may not pause. They may spend fast. They may push you to keep up. That's not your job. Your job is to protect your future, to protect your peace, to spend with purpose. That means training your brain to think independently, to step back, to say, that might be right for them, but not for me right now. This isn't about being cheap. It's about being clear. It's about knowing that your future is built by the decisions you make daily. And the more you practice this, the more natural it becomes. Soon, you won't have to force the pause. It'll happen automatically. You'll check in, you'll think it through, and you'll make decisions that support your real goals, not just your passing moods. This habit also builds your confidence, because you start to see that you can trust yourself, that you don't have to act on every impulse, that you can hold back and still feel in control. That's real freedom. When you pause, you also start to notice patterns. You'll see when you're most tempted to spend. Maybe it's after a stressful day. Maybe it's when you're around certain people. Maybe it's during certain times of the month. That awareness is gold. Because once you see the pattern, you can change it. You can create better responses, healthier ways to cope, more fulfilling ways to feel good. And the result? You stop leaking energy. You stop draining your account on things that don't bring real value. You stop chasing short-term relief and start building long-term wealth, not just in your wallet, but in your self-worth. When you look at people who manage money well, it's not because they never spend. It's because they don't spend without thinking. They take their time. They choose based on values. They weigh decisions against their vision. And you can too. It starts with a decision to slow down, to stop rushing, to take back control of how you use your money, because your money is a reflection of your choices, and your choices are shaped by your thoughts. So if you want better outcomes, you need better thought patterns. That's what this pause trains. Even if you've made mistakes in the past, this changes the game, because this time you're not reacting. You're responding, and that response is what builds wisdom, discipline, self-respect. So, wherever you are financially right now, know this. You are not stuck. You are just one small decision away from starting again. That decision is the pause. That's the doorway to smarter spending, stronger habits, and a more confident relationship with money. You don't need to be perfect. You don't need to have it all figured out. You just need to start with one moment, one pause, one decision that says, I will think this through. I will act with purpose. I will protect my peace and my progress. That's how financial intelligence begins, not with knowledge, but with awareness, not with income, but with intention, and not with control over everything, but with control over the one thing that matters most, your next choice. That's where your power is. That's where it's always been. And that's where your new life starts, right here, right now, with one simple pause before you pay. Chapter 3. Build real savings by changing how safety feels. Most people want to save money. They know it's important. They've heard it all before. Save for emergencies, save for the future, save for peace of mind, and yet they don't do it. Or if they do, they struggle to keep it going. They start, they stop, they save, then spend. They build up a little, then drain it completely. Not because they don't care, not because they don't try, but because somewhere deep down, saving doesn't feel safe. That might sound strange at first. You'd think saving is the very thing that makes people feel safe. But for many, especially those who grew up with financial stress or constant pressure, the act of saving brings up discomfort. It feels unfamiliar. It feels restrictive. Or it triggers old fears. Fears that the money will disappear anyway. Fears that they'll never have enough. Fears that there's no point in holding on to something they might lose. And this is why real saving, consistent, lasting saving can't just be about putting money in an account. It has to be about shifting how safety feels inside of you. If deep down you feel more familiar with spending than saving, you'll always go back to spending. If safety to you means having fun now, avoiding pain now, or proving something now, then saving will feel like a threat. You'll treat it like punishment, not protection. And the moment something feels wrong, you'll pull the money out just to feel okay again. This is why some people only feel secure when they're spending. Spending feels like taking action. Spending feels like motion. It gives a sense of control. Meanwhile, money just sitting in an account, that feels passive. It feels risky. It makes them anxious. It forces them to face silence, stillness, and uncertainty. But if you want real savings that stay and grow, you have to flip that emotional experience. You have to teach your brain to feel calm, not nervous, when you see money sit untouched. You have to make peace with the quiet strength of financial stability. You have to let safety feel like saving, not just survival. So how do you change how safety feels? Start by redefining what security really is. For some, security has meant having enough to spend on what I want right now. But that's not safety. That's temporary relief. Real security is knowing you can handle what life throws at you. That you don't have to panic when something breaks, when work slows down, when a surprise bill comes in. Real security is having options. And options come from savings. When you have savings, you sleep differently. You walk differently. You don't make desperate choices. You don't say yes to things that drain you just because you're scared. You negotiate better. You set better boundaries. You stop living in survival mode. But to feel that, you have to first let yourself believe you're worthy of peace. This is where many people struggle. They've attached their identity to the hustle, to the stress, to the grind. They don't know who they are without the pressure. So when money starts building up, they get uncomfortable. They sabotage it, not because they're weak, but because they're not used to calm. It feels foreign, almost wrong. Their nervous system is trained for chaos, not consistency. That's why changing how safety feels isn't just a financial process. It's an emotional one. You have to get familiar with peace. You have to learn how to sit with stability. You have to make saving feel good, not just logical. Because people don't keep doing what only makes sense. They keep doing what feels right. So the next time you put money aside, don't just think of it as a transaction. Make it a decision to take care of yourself. Make it a way to show up for your future. Make it feel like power, because it is. To support this shift, Build rituals around saving. Make it a moment you're proud of, even if it's $5, even if it's spare change. Attach it to your identity. I am someone who protects my future. I am someone who creates space between me and panic. That kind of talk rewires your brain. It gives your saving habits meaning. Also, make your savings visible, not just in your bank app, but in your daily awareness. Put a note on your mirror. Track your progress on paper. Celebrate milestones, even small ones. The brain responds to wins. It needs to feel momentum. If your savings feel like they disappear into a void, you'll lose connection with them. Make them part of your story. And don't wait until everything's perfect to start. Some people say, I'll save when I earn more. But that's backward. If you don't save a dollar from 10, you won't save 10 from 100. Saving is a habit, not an amount. Start now, with what you have. The act itself builds strength. Another part of this emotional shift is learning how to soothe your discomfort without spending. If you've always used shopping or impulse buying to manage stress, you need new tools. Journaling, movement, breathing, talking to someone. Because if spending is your only way to feel better, saving will always lose the battle. Build emotional resilience so that your money doesn't carry the burden of your healing. Let money be a tool, not a therapist. Let savings be a support system, not a substitute for self-care. And be ready to face the stories you've been told. Maybe you heard that people with money are selfish, that saving is selfish, that enjoying life now is better than being prepared. You have to challenge those ideas, because holding on to them will keep you broke, not just financially, but mentally. What if saving is generous? What if building wealth allows you to give more, to help more, to breathe easier around others? What if being stable is one of the most loving things you can do for yourself and those around you? The goal isn't to save out of fear. The goal is to save from strength. To save because you know your future deserves support. Because you want to show up fully. Not weighed down by worry. It's okay if saving feels awkward at first. That means you're growing. That means you're doing something different. Let it feel new. Let it stretch you and stay with it. Don't chase perfection. Chase consistency. Give yourself permission to feel proud when you look at your account and see money staying put. That's discipline. That's care. That's progress. And progress is what changes lives. Not big leaps, but steady steps. The kind you take when you decide to no longer fear peace. When you decide that safety can feel calm, quiet and controlled, not frantic, fast and flashy. So today, if saving has always felt like losing, it's time to reframe it. Saving is winning. Saving is strength. Saving is choosing long-term calm over short-term escape. Saving is declaring that you deserve to feel secure, without needing to perform, pretend or prove anything. Build real savings, by changing the way you feel about safety. Let security be something you create, not something you wait for. Let peace be something you protect, not something you chase. Because once saving feels like home, you'll stop running from it, and you'll start building a life that feels strong, solid, and steady, one deposit at a time.
Chapter 4. Question every purchase until it matches your priorities. Every time you spend money, you are making a decision about what matters to you. Whether you realize it or not, your spending is a mirror of your real priorities. It reflects what you value, what you believe, and what you're willing to trade your energy for. But most people never slow down enough to ask the one question that could change everything. Does this match what's actually important to me? Most purchases happen without much thought. They're triggered by emotion, habit, convenience, or influence. Someone online says it's a must-have. A friend shows up with something new. You're tired, you're overwhelmed, you want a break, and the simplest escape is a purchase. It feels good in the moment. It feels like a little reward. But too often that reward becomes regret. When you start questioning every purchase, you step into a different level of personal responsibility. You stop reacting and start choosing. You stop spending just because you can and start aligning every dollar with your deeper goals. This is where your financial intelligence begins to take shape. Not in how much you earn, but in how clearly you live by what matters. To build this habit, you don't need guilt or shame. You need clarity. You need to know what your real priorities are. Not the ones you think you should have, not the ones other people talk about, but the ones that make you feel proud when you honor them. Maybe it's freedom, maybe it's peace, maybe it's creating space for your family to thrive. Whatever it is, your money has to serve that. Otherwise, it's being wasted. When you stop and ask yourself, "Does this align with my priorities?" you introduce a moment of truth. And in that moment, you give yourself the chance to choose differently. That one question can prevent months of frustration. It can save you from waking up and wondering why your account is empty again. It can stop you from drowning in clutter, subscriptions, and distractions that looked like fun, but had no real value. Not every purchase is wrong. Some things you buy will add real value to your life, but the only way to know the difference is by checking in. You have to put space between impulse and action, and in that space, ask yourself the hard questions. Why am I buying this? What am I hoping it will solve? Is this just a reaction to stress or boredom? Will this bring me closer to the life I want? Would I be okay walking away from this? Those questions don't take long to ask, but they give you the power to stop chasing things that don't actually matter. They make you slow down long enough to hear your own values instead of following noise from the outside world. Sometimes you'll find that what you were about to buy didn't matter at all. It just filled a gap. It just gave you a moment of distraction. But when you walk away from that moment, you build self-trust. You prove to yourself that you can wait, that you don't have to follow every urge, that you can think clearly even when something looks exciting. The truth is, your priorities already exist. The question is, whether your spending reflects them. If you say health is important, does your spending show that? If you say you want financial peace, are you making choices that support that? If you say your family matters most, are you putting your money where your words are? It's not about being perfect, it's about being honest. Because every purchase is a choice between what matters most and what matters right now. And the more often you choose what matters most, the stronger your financial foundation becomes. To make this easier, write your top three priorities down. Keep them where you can see them. Tape them to your wallet. Put them on your phone lock screen. Let them remind you what you're building. And before every non-essential purchase, look at that list. Ask yourself, does this fit? If it doesn't, walk away. That's not deprivation, that's alignment. And alignment is how you build a life that feels strong and steady, not full but scattered. This isn't about saying no to everything, it's about saying yes with purpose. It's about spending in ways that energize you instead of draining you. It's about making room for the things that truly support your growth. Not just fill your space. One of the most powerful things you can do is track your purchases for 1 week. Not just the amount, but the reason. What mood were you in? What were you thinking? What were you avoiding? This reflection helps you see your own patterns, and once you see them, you can change them. You might notice that you spend more when you're overwhelmed. That's a signal to slow down, not spend more. You might find that you buy things you never use. That's a sign your priorities aren't being consulted. You might catch yourself trying to impress people who aren't even paying attention. That's a wake-up call. You don't need more things. You need more alignment. You need to feel proud of how you use your money, not just entertained. You need to know that your choices are helping you grow, not pulling you in 10 directions. The power in questioning your purchases isn't about the price, it's about the pattern. It's about breaking the automatic behavior and choosing with clarity. That's what makes you feel in control. That's what brings peace. That's what makes your money feel like a tool, not a trap. Your life doesn't change when you buy more. It changes when you buy better, when you spend with intention, when you stop letting impulse run the show, when you finally say, if this doesn't match who I want to become, it's not worth it. And this mindset builds strength over time. It makes you more aware. It makes you more present. You stop drifting. You stop leaking time and energy. You build the kind of focus that leads to real progress. Eventually, this becomes natural. You won't have to force yourself to ask. It'll just happen. You'll look at something and know it doesn't fit. You'll walk away without drama. You'll feel good about saving the money. Because now you know what that money represents. Your future, your peace, your freedom to say yes to something better. There will always be temptations. There will always be things trying to grab your attention. But once you've tasted alignment, you won't settle for noise. You'll want your spending to match your identity. You'll want your choices to reflect your vision. And you don't have to wait for a new job, a new year, or a new level of income to start doing this. You can start today with the next purchase. You can slow down. You can ask the question. You can decide that your priorities deserve respect. Because this is more than financial advice. It's about your life. It's about showing up with intention. It's about building something that lasts. And every time you question a purchase and choose what truly matters, you take one more step toward that life. No one else can do this for you. It's your journey, your priorities, your values, your values, your values, your decisions. But once you start living this way, you'll feel the difference. Less chaos, less clutter, more clarity, more power. And that power, that's how real change begins. One purchase at a time, one decision at a time, one honest question at a time.
Chapter 5. Choose long-term peace over short-term spending hits. When you spend money for a quick high, it feels exciting for a moment, like something just shifted. You get the product, the experience, the reward, but then it fades, and what's left is a smaller account, a little regret, and sometimes a quiet voice in the back of your mind asking why you keep repeating the same cycle. The truth is, the world constantly teaches you to want more now, more stuff, more comfort, more status. But rarely does it ask you to slow down and think about what will matter 5 years from today. Short-term spending gives you a hit of pleasure. It gives you something new to hold, to wear, to post, to feel in control. But that hit comes with a cost, and it's not just the money. It's the peace you trade for a rush. It's the stability you give up for another moment of distraction. It's the silence you avoid by buying noise. Long-term peace doesn't shout for your attention. It doesn't give you a dopamine spike. It doesn't ask for credit cards or flash sales. It shows up in a calm morning where your bills are paid. It shows up when you don't panic at the end of the month. It's there when you make a choice based on your goals, not your emotions. But you only reach that kind of peace when you stop chasing short-term comfort and start investing in clarity. Ask yourself, what do I really want? Do I want to feel good for 10 minutes or do I want to feel safe for 10 years? Do I want to impress people for a weekend or build a life that feels steady every day? Do I want to keep spending just to escape discomfort, or am I ready to face the real reasons I keep reaching for something new? Most people aren't stuck because they don't make enough money. They're stuck because they never learned how to wait. They never learned how to sit with discomfort. They never learned that not buying something is sometimes the most powerful decision you can make. You say no to the urge, so you can say yes to what actually matters. But this isn't about being strict or cold. It's not about saying no to fun or beauty or living. It's about choosing on purpose. It's about deciding that you will not keep giving your future away for things you won't care about in a week. It's about redefining what real wealth looks like. Real wealth is not found in fast purchases. It's found in slow, thoughtful decisions that build something strong beneath the surface. It's easy to spend when you're emotional. It's easy to buy when you're bored, stressed, lonely, or pressured. And that's what companies count on. They build systems that trigger your reactions. They create urgency. They use language that makes you feel like you'll miss out. But you won't miss out on your real life by not buying one more thing. You'll start to build it. There's a kind of confidence that only comes when you know you could have bought something, but you didn't. Because you remembered your goals. Because you respected your future. Because you're not living for the rush anymore. You're living for the life you've promised yourself. When you build the habit of choosing long-term peace, you stop giving away your energy to temporary highs. You start making choices that support your mind, your health, your relationships, your purpose. You sleep better. You breathe easier. You think clearer, not because you bought something, but because you didn't. This doesn't mean you'll never buy anything for fun again. But fun becomes something you plan for, something that fits your values, something that doesn't leave you with regret or stress. That's the difference between reactive spending and aligned spending. One leaves a hole, the other builds a life. Start small. The next time you feel the urge to buy something, pause. Don't judge yourself. Just notice. Ask, what feeling am I trying to fix right now? What would peace look like in this moment? Would saving this money support something bigger later? Can I wait 24 hours and come back to this? You'll be surprised how often the feeling passes, and when it doesn't, you'll make the purchase with intention, not desperation. That's what turns spending into strength. You control it. It doesn't control you. Long-term peace is not found in a product. It's found in the quiet confidence that you are no longer reacting. You are leading your life, not being pulled by every emotion or offer. And that leadership, that self-trust, builds a deeper kind of satisfaction than any short-term pleasure ever could. When you look back on your life in 10 years, the things you'll be proud of won't be the impulse buys. They'll be the moments you chose discipline over distraction. They'll be the decisions where you walked away from noise and moved towards stability. There'll be the times you said, not now, because I'm building something bigger. There's nothing wrong with wanting nice things, but not everything you want is worth the trade. That's the part most people never learn. They keep chasing one more thing, hoping it'll finally make them feel whole. But nothing outside you can create the peace that comes from knowing you're living on purpose. Peace doesn't come from what you buy, it comes from what you build, and what you build is shaped by what you choose every day. You choose how you spend your time, your attention, your money, your energy. You choose whether to feed your future or feed your impulses. You choose whether to spend for comfort or grow through clarity. That choice is in front of you every single day, in the checkout line, on your phone, when you open your wallet, when your emotions rise. And every time you choose long-term peace, you build a stronger foundation. One decision doesn't seem like much, but hundreds of them become your reality. Imagine a life where your money supports your values, where you're not trying to catch up, where you don't carry guilt for your purchases, where you feel calm even when things get hard. That's the reward for learning how to say yes to your vision, more than your urges. Some days will be harder than others. Some moments will tempt you. But every time you pause, every time you choose peace, you're building discipline. And discipline is not punishment. It's freedom. It's what keeps you grounded when everything else is trying to pull you off course. You're not doing this to be perfect. You're doing this to be powerful, to prove to yourself that you can create a life based on strength, not reaction, to show up for yourself in a way that feels steady and real. That kind of life takes intention. It takes daily choices. It takes being honest with yourself about what matters most. So before you spend, ask yourself, am I buying peace or trading it? Will this help me feel calm tomorrow or just distracted today? And if you can't say yes to peace, it's probably not worth the price. Your future self is watching, and they'll either thank you for your patience or wish you had more of. Make the kind of decisions now that earn your own respect later. You don't need to wait for some big change. You don't need to earn more or fix everything overnight. You just need to start choosing peace, one small moment at a time. That's how transformation happens. Not through massive shifts, but through consistent, intentional decisions that add up. And that's what you're capable of. Right here. Right now. Choose peace. Choose purpose. Choose a life that doesn't depend on the next purchase to feel whole. You are already enough. You already have what it takes. Now it's time to act like it.
Chapter 6. Break free from financial patterns you copied growing up. The way you handle money right now didn't begin with you. It started years ago, before you had a job, before you made your first purchase, before you even knew what money really was. It started when you were watching the people around you, your parents, your relatives, the adults who raised you. You heard what they said about money. You saw how they reacted to bills, to stress, to unexpected expenses. You noticed how they talked about rich people, how they responded to paychecks, how they felt about debt. You learned all of it quietly. No one had to sit you down and teach you step by step. You just absorbed it. And now, without realizing it, you're likely repeating some of those same patterns. Some people grow up in homes where money was a constant source of fear. They heard things like, we can't afford that, or money doesn't grow on trees, or there's never enough. So even now, as adults, they carry that fear with them. Even if their income increases, the fear stays. It turns into scarcity thinking. They hoard money but feel guilty spending. Or they overspend, because they never learned how to plan. They live with anxiety, always expecting the worst. Others grew up seeing money used as control. One parent might have had more financial power and used it to dominate decisions. That pattern can lead someone to believe money equals control or lack of money equals helplessness. So they chase financial success, not because they love freedom, but because they're terrified of being at someone else's mercy. Then there are people who saw chaos around money. No budgets, no tracking, just survival. Bills were paid late or not at all. Savings was never discussed. Debt was normal. Financial conversations only happened during arguments. If you grew up in that, you might now avoid looking at your accounts. You might feel shame about not understanding how to manage money, even though no one ever taught you. The truth is, none of this is your fault, but it is now your responsibility. Because continuing the same pattern just because it's familiar is a choice. You didn't get to choose your financial environment growing up, but you do get to choose what you do next. It starts with awareness. You cannot change what you don't first acknowledge. Think about the messages you heard around money in your childhood. What was said directly? What was shown through behavior? What emotions were attached to money? Was it fear, anger, guilt, silence, tension? Write those down. Don't judge them. Just see them clearly. Then ask yourself, how are those early messages still showing up in your life today? Are you repeating behaviors that don't serve you? Are you reacting from old wounds? Are you stuck in beliefs that might have made sense then, but are limiting now? Awareness gives you the power to interrupt the cycle, and that's exactly what breaking free looks like. It's not about blaming anyone. It's about refusing to stay asleep to the scripts you didn't choose. It's about saying, that may have been true then, but I choose different now. And choosing differently doesn't require perfection. It requires action. If you've always avoided budgeting because it felt stressful, try creating a weekly money check-in.
just 15 minutes. Get familiar with your numbers. If you grew up thinking saving was only for rich people, challenge that belief by setting aside even a small amount each week. Not because it's about the number, but because you're building a new relationship with the concept of saving. Maybe your parents worked hard, but never had enough. You saw the struggle. You learned that work didn't always lead to comfort. So now you believe that no matter how much you try, it won't make a difference. That belief is heavy. It keeps you stuck. But it's not reality. It's a pattern, and patterns can be broken. Start collecting new evidence. Read books. Listen to people who grew up like you but changed their financial story. Watch how they think, how they behave, what they focus on. Not so you can copy them, but so you can remind yourself that your past isn't your ceiling. You also need to understand how emotion drives behavior. You might feel unsafe with money because the adults around you didn't model stability. So now, every time you get a little ahead, you sabotage. You spend impulsively. You say things like, "I deserve this," or "I'll figure it out later." Not because you're careless, but because a part of you doesn't feel comfortable holding on to peace. You've been wired to expect tension. Changing this requires emotional work. When you get paid, notice your thoughts. Do you feel relief or panic? When you spend, do you feel in control or like you're trying to numb something? Pay attention. Your feelings around money tell a deeper story than your transactions. You don't have to repeat what you saw. You can create a life that looks nothing like your past, but it won't happen by accident. It happens when you consciously decide to question everything you inherited financially. Every belief, every behavior, every assumption. Maybe you were taught that talking about money is rude. Start talking about it anyway with trusted friends, with your partner, with a mentor. Open the door to new perspectives. Maybe you were taught that debt is normal and unavoidable. Learn how debt works. Study interest. Educate yourself so you can make smarter decisions. This is not just about having more money. It's about creating a life that feels alive. It's about building financial habits that reflect who you are now, not who you had to be back then. It's about protecting your peace, your goals, your energy from being hijacked by someone else's story. And yes, breaking patterns will feel uncomfortable. You'll feel resistant. You'll hear old voices in your head. You'll be tempted to fall back into habits that feel familiar, even if they hurt. That's part of the process. Don't panic. Don't give up. The discomfort is just a sign that you're doing something different, and different is what leads to change. Be patient with yourself. You're unlearning years of programming. You're healing wounds that were passed down. You're writing a new story. That takes time. But every time you make a conscious money decision, you're taking a step forward. Every time you pause and ask yourself, "Is this my belief or someone else's?" you're growing. Every time you choose your future over your past, you're winning. It might start small, making a grocery list instead of winging it, checking your account before buying something, saying no to a purchase that doesn't match your goals, setting a savings target, no matter how modest. These are not just tasks, they are acts of self-respect, and self-respect builds momentum. The more you see yourself making different choices, the more you trust your ability to change. You stop defining yourself by what you didn't learn, and start taking pride in what you're learning now. You are not your parents' mistakes. You are not your family's fear. You are not the stress that filled the room when the bills were due. You are not the silence that surrounded every financial decision. You are your own person. You get to decide what wealth means to you. You get to define what stability looks like. You get to build systems that work for your personality, your dreams, your boundaries. You're not broken if you weren't taught about money. You're not behind. You're not hopeless. You're just waking up. And the more awake you become, the less control those old patterns have over you. This is the work that changes generations. It's not flashy. It's not instant. But it's real. It's the kind of change that lasts. And you have everything inside you right now to begin. So take a deep breath. Look at where you came from, and then look forward. See the gap between the two. That gap is your power, That gap is where you rise. That gap is the space where you stop repeating and start rewriting. And that, more than anything, is what financial intelligence really looks like. Not numbers on a page, but a life you've designed with intention, truth and freedom.
Chapter 7. Set simple money rules and actually follow them daily. Most people think money management is about big, complicated plans. They believe it takes fancy tools, detailed spreadsheets, and a perfect income to stay on track. So they avoid it. They wait until they feel more ready. But in reality, the people who win with money long-term don't make it complex. They make it simple, and more importantly, they follow through on the small things every day. You don't need a finance degree to be good with money. You need basic structure. You need rules you can live by, not rules that overwhelm you. And once you create them, the most important part is sticking to them. Not once in a while, but every single day, until they become second nature. Simple rules protect you from chaos. They take the emotion out of decisions. They guide you when you're tired, distracted, or tempted. They reduce stress because you don't have to keep figuring things out from scratch. The rule does the thinking for you. It becomes your system. And systems are stronger than mood. One reason people get stuck financially is because they make decisions based on how they feel in the moment. If they feel tired, they eat out. If they feel stressed, they shop. If they feel insecure, they upgrade things they don't need. But when you live by rules, you interrupt that pattern. You say, "Here's what I do with my money, no matter how I feel." That's where discipline starts. Not from being tough, but from being consistent. The first step is to create your own money rules, not borrowed ones. Not rules from someone else's lifestyle. Your rule, ones that fit your situation, your goals, your income, and your values. They need to be clear, doable, and personal. Vague goals don't help. Saying, "I want to save more," is not a rule. Saying, "I transfer 10% of every paycheck to savings immediately," is a rule. That's something you can track, measure, and repeat. Start small. Pick just 3 to 5 core rules that you will live by. Think of them like your personal financial code. These are the lines you don't cross. These are the habits that guide you through every season, whether things are going well or falling apart. Here are examples of powerful, simple rules people create. I never spend money the same day I feel emotional. I review my account balance every morning. I don't buy anything unless it's been on my list for 3 days. I pay all bills on the first day of the month. I invest a fixed amount the same day I get paid. I pause before all purchases and ask, "Does this match my goals?" I only carry a certain amount of spending money for the week. I stop spending for the day after reaching a certain daily limit. Notice that none of these rules are complicated. They don't require fancy math. They just require repetition. Because the secret to financial stability isn't in information, it's in implementation. Once you set your rules, you need a way to stick to them. This is where daily action comes in. Don't wait for motivation. Motivation fades. Systems stay. Build routines around your rules. Stack them with existing habits. If you already check your phone every morning, check your account right after. If you already plan your meals, plan your grocery budget at the same time. Link your new habit to one that already exists. Track your follow-through. Each time you stick to a rule, mark it down. Use a notebook, an app, a wall chart, whatever works. Seeing your progress builds momentum. It creates a feedback loop. You start feeling proud of your consistency, and that pride leads to more action. Momentum doesn't come from big wins. It comes from showing up daily. There will be days you want to break your rules. Days where impulse calls louder than logic. That's normal. But the goal is not perfection.
The goal is consistency. You don't need to win every day. You need to win most days. And when you fall off, get back on immediately. Don't wait. Don't spiral. Just reset and continue. One skipped day doesn't erase your progress. What makes these rules powerful is that they create structure in a world that pulls you in every direction. The modern world is filled with distractions, endless ads, one-click orders, constant pressure to upgrade your lifestyle. Without rules, you're at the mercy of all of it. With rules, you create a filter. You decide what makes it through. You take back control, and don't forget your rules can evolve. As your life changes, your rules can change. But they should never be so loose that they stop guiding you. They should challenge you enough to grow, but not overwhelm you. The sweet spot is simple enough to follow, strong enough to protect you. If you live with other people, family, partner, roommates, talk about your rules, let them know what you're committing to. Don't expect them to follow your system exactly, but share it so they understand where you're coming from. Sometimes, just saying your rules out loud makes them more real. It's also helpful to have visual reminders. Post your rules somewhere you'll see them. Not to shame yourself, but to stay focused. When you're tired, those reminders keep you aligned. When you're tempted, they bring you back. The more you surround yourself with your goals, the less space there is for distraction. You also need to remember your why. Every rule should tie back to something meaningful. You're not doing this just to be you're doing this to feel peace, to reduce stress, to build freedom, to be able to make choices that serve you, not trap you. When you remember your reason, it's easier to stay committed. Let's say one of your rules is to save $20 every time you get paid. If you forget the reason behind that rule, it might feel boring. But if you attach that rule to a bigger goal like building a fund so you can leave a job you hate or take your family on a real vacation for the first time, it becomes powerful. The rule becomes a tool. It stops being about the $20 and starts being about your future. That kind of clarity is priceless. Because once you see that your small daily choices are shaping something bigger, it's easier to say no to distractions. It's easier to hold your ground. It's easier to wake up and follow through, because you know what's on the line. And here's the real beauty of setting money rules. They don't just change your finances, they change how you see yourself. They prove that you're capable of commitment. They show you that you can create structure, that you can lead your life, that you don't have to live in reaction mode anymore. You start to trust yourself more. You start to feel steady. And when unexpected things happen, and they will, you're not starting from zero. You have a system to fall back on. You have habits that support you. You have rules that give you a foundation. That's what financial intelligence looks like. Not just knowing what to do, but having the courage and discipline to do it, over and over, when no one's watching. That's how you grow. That's how you win. That's how you stop surviving and start building. So today, make the decision to set your money rules. Keep them simple. Keep them honest. Keep them connected to your real goals. Then follow them. Not just once, but daily. Let your consistency become your strength. Let your habits become your peace. Let your system carry you forward, one small intentional step at a time.
Chapter 8. Create income that fits your life, not kills it. You don't need to destroy your life to make money. You don't need to sacrifice your peace, your energy, or your health just to pay bills or build a career. Somewhere along the way, people started believing that income only counts if it drains you. If you're not exhausted, it's not worth it. If you're not working non-stop, you're not serious. That's a lie. The truth is, income should support your life, not run it into the ground. Your income should fit into your life, not the other way around.
People stay in jobs they hate because they think there's no other way. They take pride in being overworked, as if burnout is a badge of honor. But at what cost? If you're making money but you have no time, no health, no joy, then what are you really earning? Just because you're getting paid doesn't mean you're being fulfilled. Just because you're working hard doesn't mean you're working smart. The goal isn't just to make more money, it's to create income that works with your life, not against it. This starts with getting honest about what kind of life you want. Before you chase any job, any business, any opportunity, stop and ask, what kind of days do I want? What kind of pace feels good for me? What kind of work energizes me instead of draining me? Your income should be designed around that, not around guilt or pressure or other people's expectations. Maybe you've always believed that hard work is the only way to earn, and yes, effort matters. But effort doesn't have to mean misery. You can put in effort doing something that gives you freedom. You can build income from something that grows over time, that compounds, that supports your mental and emotional health instead of breaking it down. But that requires you to shift your mindset from hustle to intention, from chasing to choosing. There's a difference between working hard and working in alignment. Working hard means you push. Alignment means you build something that makes sense for your strength, your lifestyle, and your vision. Some people thrive in high-speed environments, others don't. Some want structure, others want freedom. The key is not copying anyone else's income path, it's building one that fits how you function best. Start by looking at your current income sources. Are they draining you? Are they sustainable? Are they tied to your health, your time, your availability? If you stop showing up, does the money stop too? If so, you might be in a trap, even if the numbers look good. The real freedom comes when you build income that isn't directly tied to your every move. That might mean creating a business. That might mean building digital products. That might mean learning how to invest. It might mean offering a service you enjoy that lets you control your schedule. There are hundreds of ways to earn, but only a few that will actually support your ideal life. One of the biggest traps is staying stuck in a job that pays well but costs everything else. You stay because the check is predictable. You stay because people say you're lucky. But you're not lucky if you're miserable. You're not winning if your work owns every hour of your life. Eventually, the cost of ignoring your well-being will show up. It always does. In stress, in health, in relationships, in regret, and by the time you realize it, you've given years to something that never gave anything back except a number on a screen. Creating income that fits your life is not a fantasy. It's not for the chosen few. It's a decision, a series of daily actions, a choice to stop doing what's easy and familiar and start building what's right. You might have to learn new skills. You might have to take a pay cut for a while. You might have to work evenings or weekends while you transition, but it's worth it. Because the payoff isn't just money. It's a life you actually want to live. That life starts by identifying what matters most. Do you value flexibility? Build around that. Do you need creativity? Find work that allows it. Do you want time with family? Make that non-negotiable. Don't build income that steals from the very things that give you meaning. Instead, ask yourself daily, is this work giving to me or only taking from me? And remember, success doesn't have to look big to be real. You don't need a giant salary to be proud of your income. You don't need a big title to know you're doing work that matters. You just need to feel aligned. You need to know that your income lets you breathe, live, rest, and grow. Not just survive. You need to feel like you're moving forward without breaking yourself in the process. Income should be a tool. It should give you options. It should create space for you to show up as your best self. But that only happens when you design it with intention. If your income requires you to constantly prove your worth, burn yourself out, or shrink your joy, it's time to rethink the model. it's time to step back and build something better. You don't have to quit your job tomorrow. You don't have to burn bridges, but you do need to make a plan. Start small. Explore side income that aligns with your skills and interests. Use evenings to learn something new. Use weekends to experiment with ideas. Every hour you put toward building income that fits your life is a step away from the version that's been draining you. Talk to people who have done what you want to do. Study how they started. Learn from their mistakes. You don't have to reinvent everything, but you do have to act. The longer you wait, the harder it becomes to shift. The longer you stay stuck, the more normal it starts to feel. That's dangerous. Because when stress feels normal, you stop reaching for better. Don't let that happen. Your life is not meant to be one long work session. You are not a machine. You're a human being who deserves time, space, and joy. And money should support that, not control it. So when you think about income, think bigger than paychecks. Think about your time. Think about your health. Think about your family. Think about the impact you want to make. Let all of that shape how you earn. Your income should reflect who you are, not just what you can tolerate. It should evolve as you grow. It should adapt to the seasons of your life. What worked at 20 might not work at 30 or 40. Be willing to adjust. Be willing to upgrade your mindset. Be willing to say, "This no longer serves me," and do something about it. The sooner you take responsibility for designing income that fits your life, the sooner you'll feel the freedom you've been craving. You'll stop living for weekends. You'll stop dreading mornings. You'll stop using money as the only measure of success, because you'll know that you're building something solid, something real, something that gives more than it takes. So ask yourself today, what kind of income do I want to create? How do I want my days to feel? What skills do I have that could support that? What do I need to learn? Who can I talk to? What's one step I can take this week to move in that direction? You don't have to figure it all out at once. You just have to begin. Start with one change, one decision, one commitment to yourself. Over time, those choices will build a new reality, a life where your income supports your peace, not your pressure. A life where money is a servant, not a master. A life where you finally feel like you're living, not just working to survive. And that life is possible. It's not out of reach. It's waiting for you to step into it. You just have to stop building around what drains you and start building around what lifts you. Your income should fit your life, not take it from you. Start creating that version now. One smart move at a time. One strong decision at a time. One fully aligned step at a time.
Chapter 9. Review your money actions without guilt or excuses. Most people avoid looking at their money because they're afraid of what they'll see. They think checking their spending will only remind them of their mistakes. They fear the numbers will bring shame, regret, or disappointment. So they avoid it altogether. They keep swiping, guessing, and hoping it all works out somehow. But ignoring your financial reality doesn't protect you. It traps you. It locks you in the same patterns that keep you stuck, stressed, and unsure. The way out starts with a simple but powerful habit: reviewing your money actions consistently, without guilt and without excuses. It's not just about tracking numbers. It's about taking responsibility for your choices without turning them into a punishment. You don't grow by beating yourself up. You grow by facing the truth and learning from it. The money you've spent, the debt you've built, the savings you didn't grow, none of that defines your worth. Those are outcomes. They can be changed. But you can't change what you won't look at. When you review your money actions, you take control back. You stop drifting. You become intentional. And that shift from avoidance to awareness is where progress begins. Most people don't even realize how much of their stress is caused by financial uncertainty. It sits in the background of their lives, making everything feel heavier. But clarity lifts the weight. When you know what's happening with your money, you stop feeling helpless. You can breathe. You can think clearly. You can plan.
Start by setting aside just 10 minutes a week. Sit down with your account statements. Look at your spending from the past few days. Don't rush. Don't scroll mindlessly. Look at every transaction. Ask yourself, was this aligned with my goals? Did this help me or hurt me? Was this intentional or emotional? Not to judge yourself, but to understand yourself. The point is not to find every mistake. The point is to connect the dots between your decisions and your results. If your money is disappearing faster than you want, you need to know where it's going. If your savings aren't growing, you need to see why. If debt keeps increasing, you need to figure out what's fueling that cycle. But you can't fix what you pretend isn't broken. When you start doing this regularly, you begin to notice patterns. You see the small purchases that add up. You catch the habits that drain your account. You realize where you're spending just to feel better temporarily. And once you see those patterns, you can change them, not by being perfect, but by being honest. This is where guilt gets in the way for so many people. They think that seeing the truth means they have to feel bad. They turn every mistake into a character flaw. But you're not your past behavior. You're not your worst financial month. You're not the receipts from one bad decision. You're a person in progress. And guilt doesn't move you forward. Clarity does. Ownership does. The willingness to say, I did that. Now I'm doing better. Is far more powerful than shame ever will be. Excuses are another trap. When you look at your money and immediately blame the economy, your job or someone else's choices, you lose your power. Maybe those things played a part. Maybe life hit you hard. But blaming won't fix it. Taking control will. You don't need to blame yourself or anyone else. You just need to ask, what can I do differently next time? That question opens the door to real growth. Make this review process part of your weekly rhythm. Just like people meal prep, go to the gym or clean their homes, you need time set aside to review your financial behavior. It's not just a habit, it's a life skill, and the more often you do it, the more natural it becomes. Eventually, you won't dread it. You'll look forward to it. You'll start to feel proud that you're staying aware. Proud that you're keeping promises to yourself. Proud that you're acting like someone who takes ownership of their future. During these reviews, celebrate the wins too, not just the problems. Did you say no to a purchase you didn't need? Write that down. Did you pay off a little more debt than usual? Acknowledge it. Did you put something into savings even when it wasn't easy? That matters. Progress is built on momentum. And momentum grows when you recognize your own effort. This process also helps you make better decisions going forward. If you notice that you always overspend when you're tired or stressed, you can prepare for that. You can find better ways to cope. If you see that you're always surprised by certain bills, you can start planning for them. Financial intelligence isn't just about numbers, it's about self-awareness. And reviewing your actions is how you get there. It's also how you build resilience. Life won't always go according to plan. You'll have unexpected expenses. You'll make mistakes. You'll fall off track. But if you've built the habit of reviewing your actions without judgment, you won't spiral. You'll regroup. You'll adjust. You'll take a breath and say, okay, let's get back on track. That kind of mindset changes everything. The goal is not to be flawless. The goal is to be awake, to be involved, to be the kind of person who pays attention, who learns, who adapts, who chooses growth over avoidance. You'll notice that this habit starts affecting other parts of your life too. You'll become more intentional with your time. You'll catch yourself before making reactive decisions. You'll start thinking ahead, because the discipline you build in one area always carries over, and the discipline of reviewing your money actions teaches you to lead yourself with clarity and strength. You don't need more apps. You don't need a complicated system. You just need to sit down regularly and face the truth with an open mind. If something needs to change, change it. If something's working, keep it. But don't wait until things are falling apart. Don't wait until your account is empty or the stress becomes unbearable. Make this a weekly ritual, a time to reset, a time to learn, a time to remind yourself that you're in control. You can't change the past, but you can learn from it. You can't control everything, but you can respond with intention. You can't avoid every mistake, but you can become someone who grows from each one. There's something powerful about looking at your life and saying, "This happened, and I'm not hiding from it. I'm facing it. I'm learning from it. I'm doing better because of it." That's how you build confidence. That's how you grow. That's how you become the version of yourself who makes decisions that you're proud of. Not perfect, but conscious, deliberate, and wise. So don't run from your money actions. Don't let guilt make you small. Don't let excuses steal your power. You are capable of growth. You are allowed to learn. You are not stuck, unless you choose to stay stuck. This is your opportunity to shift everything. One review at a time. One clear decision at a time. One honest conversation with yourself at a time. And the more often you do this, the more peace you'll feel. Because peace doesn't come from perfection. It comes from progress. And reviewing your actions is how progress begins. Right now, right here, with you choosing to lead your financial life like it matters, because it does.
Chapter 10. Decide right now to become financially unshakable. There comes a moment when you realize that the way you've been handling money doesn't match the life you want to live. Maybe it hits you after another bill drains your account. Maybe it comes after years of feeling stuck. Or maybe it's just a quiet moment where you admit to yourself that something needs to change, not later, not someday, but now. This moment is not about regret, it's about decision. It's about making the choice to become financially unshakable, not perfect, not lucky, not flawless, just steady, strong, and in control of your future, no matter what comes your way. Becoming financially unshakable doesn't mean you'll never have a hard time. Life will still bring surprises. The economy will shift. Challenges will show up. But what it does mean is that your foundation will be solid. Your mindset will be focused. Your habits will be consistent. You won't be easily knocked down. You won't panic at every expense. You won't spiral into stress every time something unexpected happens. You'll face financial challenges the same way strong people face storms, with preparation, perspective, and the quiet confidence that you'll make it through. The decision to become unshakable begins with personal ownership. You stop blaming your circumstances. You stop waiting for someone else to fix it. You stop thinking you need more time, more luck, more anything. You realize that financial strength doesn't come from what you have. It comes from what you do, from what you choose, from how you respond when things get hard, from the commitment you make to stop repeating old patterns and start creating new ones. You have to make that decision deeply, not as a wish, not as a maybe, not as something you try for a week and forget. You decide, you draw the line, you say, "This is who I am now. I take my money seriously. I lead my life with clarity. I do the things most people avoid, and I do them consistently." That's where real change begins. Not in your income, not in your environment, but in your identity. You don't become financially unshakable by reacting to life. You get there by building habits that protect you from the chaos. You create structure, you set boundaries, you build awareness, you create systems for saving, spending, and investing. You track your progress. You learn from your mistakes. You stop chasing highs and start building peace. And you do it every single day, not when you feel like it, but especially when you don't.
This kind of strength is not given, it's earned. It's built through hundreds of small decisions, choosing to say no to what doesn't serve you. Choosing to say yes to what builds your future. Choosing to stay disciplined when no one's watching. You earn it by facing your financial truth and refusing to run from it. You earn it by making progress even when it's slow. You earn it by becoming the kind of person who follows through. Every person who has built financial peace had to make this decision. They weren't born with it. They didn't stumble into it. They made a conscious choice to do things differently. They decided to stop leaking energy on guilt, fear, and avoidance. They decided to build strength from the inside out. Being financially unshakable means you know how to handle pressure. It means you keep calm during setbacks. It means you don't base your self-worth on your bank balance. It means you know your numbers, your priorities, and your plan. It means you can look at any financial situation and ask, what's the next best move, instead of panicking or shutting down. To get there, you must be honest with yourself. Where are you still hoping things will magically improve? Where are you avoiding responsibility? Where are you still relying on emotional spending to escape your stress? These are the places to begin, because strength comes from honesty, from truth, from facing the parts of yourself you used to ignore and deciding they don't control you anymore. You also have to believe that financial strength is for you, not just for rich people, not just for people who had the perfect upbringing, not just for those who got lucky. It's for anyone who decides they've had enough of being unsure, unprepared, or overwhelmed. It's for anyone who's tired of watching their money come and go without purpose. It's for anyone who's ready to take control, not someday, but now. That belief becomes the fuel. You don't need all the answers today. You don't need to fix everything overnight. You just need to believe that it's possible, that every small move matters, that you're worth the effort it takes to get there, because you are. Your peace matters, your future matters, and no one else is going to fight for it the way you can. Start small, start with one commitment. Maybe you check your account every morning. Maybe you review your spending every Friday. Maybe you save a fixed amount before you spend anything. Maybe you stop ignoring your debt and start making a plan. It doesn't have to be dramatic, it just has to be consistent. The more you act like someone who's financially unshakable, the more you become that person. You'll build habits that feel natural. You'll start making decisions based on logic, not emotion. You'll be able to say no without guilt. You'll stop comparing yourself to others. You'll stop needing to prove anything with your spending. And that kind of calm, that's priceless. You'll notice that your confidence grows, not because you've reached some perfect financial destination, but because you trust yourself more. You trust that you'll handle whatever comes. You trust that you'll adjust when needed. You trust that you're building something solid. That trust shows up in the way you walk, the way you talk, the way you make choices. Eventually other people will notice. They'll see that you're not stressed the way you used to be. They'll feel the steadiness in your energy. They'll ask how you stay so grounded. And you'll know it's because of one decision, one moment where you stopped hoping and started committing. Becoming financially unshakable doesn't mean you'll never be challenged. It means you'll never again be helpless. It means you'll always have a plan, always have perspective, and always have the ability to lead yourself through anything. That's the kind of strength no one can take from you. Not a job loss, not a recession, not a financial mistake, because your foundation isn't in your circumstances. It's in your choices. This decision, this shift is yours to make. You don't need permission. You don't need perfect timing. You don't need to wait for the right moment. You decide, and you begin. And from there, everything changes. You'll look back one day, and be grateful you made this choice. Grateful that you stopped chasing quick fixes, and started building real power. Grateful that you decided to live by clarity, by courage, by conviction. Grateful that you stopped reacting and started leading. This is your life. This is your money. This is your moment. Decide right now to become financially unshakable, decide that you are done with uncertainty, with fear, with waiting. Decide that you are building something better, starting today, and every day after that. Decide, and don't look back, because forward is where your freedom lives, and it's waiting for you to claim it.